The headlines this hour. A new poll shows the U.S. president's approval rating has fallen to its lowest level. A U.N. official slams the United States trial of a Guantanamo detainee arrested at age 15. And documents show U.K. soldiers have killed Afghan civilians, including children. Hello, everybody. Midnight GMT marks 3:30 in the morning where we are in Tehran with Press TV. Straight off to our top story for this hour, United States President Barack Obama's approval rating has dropped to record lows. That is according to a new Harris Interactive survey released on Tuesday. The poll finds that just over one-third, or 37% of respondents, have positive opinion about Mr. Obama. About 67% of Americans disapprove of Mr. Obama's performance on jobs and economy. The poll, which comes ahead of the midterm congressional elections, reveals shocking news for both Obama and Democrats. The Harris poll has also found that just 1 in 10 Americans give Congress positive ratings on the job they are doing. The poll concludes that Democrats will suffer badly in the midterm elections as Americans are pessimistic about the economy. Let's bring in Ed Spanas. He's an executive. He is with Executive Intelligence Review, joining us on the phone from Washington to discuss this one a little bit further. Mr. Spanas, like always, very welcome to Press TV. The situation, like you heard, does not look good at all for the president and his party. What went wrong, Mr. Spanas? Why Barack Obama appeared to be so unpopular as he has become today?
Well, as I've said to you before, he was completely unqualified to be president in the first place. He was a good campaigner. He had a lot of money behind him. But what happened once he got inside the White House, and these reports come from people inside the White House, is that he's very unhappy having to govern. He likes to campaign. He does not like to govern. There are reports that he's very frustrated. He's very depressed. Some reports are that he's on medications. And that he cannot concentrate or focus. I mean, it's a mental problem. And he cannot concentrate or focus on the task that faces him as president. So you put someone in who's unqualified, who has a serious psychological problem to begin with, which is a problem of narcissism, and you put him under the pressures of the presidency, and the man is beginning to crack. He's actually now on the verge of a meltdown.
Well, you know, apart from that feeling it might have, you know, what happens at the end of the day, Ed, is this second term that seems to be more and more unattainable. How would you comment on that?
Well, it's very doubtful at this point that he will last out his first term. There are people, as I've said, within the administration, within the government, and people within the Democratic Party who are seriously considering how to remove Obama from the presidency. This has been given a big push also by my boss, Lyndon LaRouche, the founder of Executive Intelligence Review, who has put out his own call for Obama to be removed under the 25th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. But it's a broader movement at this point, and it's coming from both within the Democratic Party, people who want to save the party and feel that Obama is going to take down the party and destroy it, and people who have a broader patriotic concern about the country, including he has very much upset people in the military because of his own he's not attentive to what's going on. We have troops fighting and dying. We have troops killing and being killed. And he's not that interested in it. He wants to get out on the campaign trail. He wants to hear the applause. He wants the adulation. He's not suited to be president, and it's really coming to the forefront right now. So the question is, it's really a question of what happens now in this term. The question of a second term is out of the question, I think, at this point.
Okay. Many thanks. Edward Spanis with Executive Intelligence Review all the way from Washington. Many thanks for joining us. Let's just move to another story for now. A new U.S. public opinion poll done for ABC News and Yahoo shows optimism about America hitting an all-time low. Mike Kellerman has more on that story from Washington.
The poll shows confidence in the U.S. system is at a record low, the lowest since 1984, with most blaming the people in government, but many too saying the system itself doesn't work very well. Only 33% say they are optimistic, down from 55% a generation ago. And the poll shows it's generational. Older Americans still expressing confidence in the United States, saying that it's the best place in the world to live. But younger people saying that they're uncertain, that they no longer believe, many of them, the United States is the greatest country on earth. The poll reveals a sharp drop in Americans who think the United States is the greatest country in the world. 25 years ago, 9 out of 10 said it is. Today, that has fallen to only 75%, with nearly one quarter saying America used to be a great country, but is not anymore. And that's a significant shift. The older you are, the more likely you see the country as still the best place to live in. Those in their 30s and 40s, less so. And the young.
If you were a younger person that's, and you're seeing the recession affect you this way, that probably mean, you know, you wouldn't say, you know, America is probably not the best place for us to be right now.
Much of what is happening, report the pollsters, involves the bad economy and the lack of job opportunities. Atif Gawad is a longtime professional observer of the United States.
The recession that started almost 2 years ago, we don't see a light at the end of the tunnel. If you look at the international scene, and the U.S. has been and still is waging two wars, and with that there are allegations also of abuse and of disrespect.
But say the conductors of the poll, Langer Research Associates, the surge in those who consider themselves pessimistic indicates a broader, deeper disenchantment with the American system, a malaise with many, which shows that while Americans continue overwhelmingly to be patriotic, more and more are coming to the conclusion no longer number one. Mike Kellerman, Press TV, Washington.
A human rights expert has said that the war crimes case against the Guantanamo detainee arrested at the age of 15 is a disgrace for the United States. The UN Special Rapporteur on Counterterrorism and Human Rights says none of the charges made against the Marhaber fit the international notion of a war crime. Martin Shaden made the remarks to the reporters after making a presentation to the UN General Assembly. Canadian Khadr, who was arrested in eastern Afghanistan, is standing trial by a U.S. military tribunal at the Guantanamo Bay prison camp. Khadr, of course, is said to have admitted to killing a U.S. soldier with a grenade in Afghanistan in 2002. However, the U.N. Special Rapporteur says the tribunal is not even a military court. Shannon says it is a military commission which should not have the authority to deal with ordinary crimes. He's urged the United States to try Khadr and other similar suspects in ordinary courts. The UN General Assembly has overwhelmingly voted in favor of a resolution that urges the United States to lift its economic embargo against Cuba. The resolution was passed with 187 votes in favor, 2 against, and 3 in abstention. This is the 19th straight annual condemnation of Washington for its imposed embargo on Havana. Cuba's foreign minister has called the embargo irrational. He says the United States has no intention whatsoever to lift the blockade. Let's see what that means in more practical terms with Gretchen Small, who is joining us on the phone from Washington. Well, Gretchen Small, many thanks for joining Press TV. This is the, like you heard, and I'm sure you know it better than I, the 19th condemnation by the UN General Assembly. Why do you think the U.S. just keeps ignoring these, you know, international communities' calls to lift the Cuba embargo? And interestingly, Gretchen, knowing that these embargoes basically violate the human rights and the freedoms of the people of Cuba, not its government.
Well, I think that what you look, this is exactly the point where you see the United States government has been sunk in a policy now, basically since the death of Franklin Roosevelt, although we had some good moments with John F. Kennedy and Clinton tried a few things along the way. But what we've been doing is following British policy. This is insane. Sanctions and regime change policies, as you know very well, are instruments of an imperial policy, which the U.S. was initially founded against, and which, you know, my magazine and its founder, Lyndon LaRouche, are campaigning very hard to overturn the control of these policies from the U.S. government.
Right. Ms. Small, 5 decades of embargo, you know, how much of a help has it really been in changing Cuba into what the U.S. initially wanted Cuba to become?
Oh, it did absolutely nothing. If anything, it hardened the regime. I mean, these kinds of policies stink, and they should be returned. You know, they should just be overturned. This is part, what you see with this is what we've been emphasizing here in the United States. Look, take another case. Take the case of Haiti today, right?
Okay,
because you have to look at that thing. This is a crime that the nation of Haiti, hundreds of thousand people are about to die because of a cholera outbreak.
Right.
Because President Obama directly refused recommendations from very high-level people, even around the administration, that the U.S. offer Haiti its help with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to help rebuild housing for these people.
Right. Ms. Small, you just mentioned President Obama. You just took it from my mouth. Well, global speakers have concentrating on Cuba a little bit more, have expressed disappointment over Obama's handling of the Cuba case, especially, with his change motto. They really thought this was going to be a thaw in the relations between the two nations. Why the disappointment?
Well, Obama seems to answer to the beat of another drummer, doesn't he? I mean, there isn't one policy that he's changed except to make it worse over Bush and Cheney. And that's because he's owned lock, stock, and barrel by the City of London and the British monarchy. But what we're campaigning for is get him out, and get him out now. Get him out of government and return so that we can then replace the policies that he's sticking to. Because, look, it's the bailout. If you think that the Cubans in the world are upset about President Obama, you should listen to the American people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because right. The bailout has continued. The foreclosures are racing ahead. He's opposed to a moratorium on foreclosures. Anything that has to do with the human race, it seems to be, he's been opposed to. And what we need a return to a world based on cooperation between sovereign nations. I think some of your listeners may really yearn for that also. It's a kind of policy that Franklin Roosevelt from the U.S. side fought for. And today, look at the needs we have around the globe. That's why I mentioned the Haiti question. You can look at Africa. You know, you can look at the world is at the point of a great hyperinflationary breakdown crisis, which is totally unnecessary, because what we need to get is cooperation between nations on building great physical economic projects.
Gresham Small, many thanks. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry we can't continue anymore because they're telling me we're very pressed for time, but it was definitely an honor to have you on the broadcast with us. Gresham Small, a Latin America expert all the way from Washington on that call. Let's move on to another story right now. British Defense Ministry has released documents linking its 3 military units to a large number of civilian deaths in Afghanistan. The documents include 21 incidents when British soldiers deliberately killed or wounded Afghan civilians, including children. On one occasion, they even shot a man with mental health problems. The disclosure is in response to a request made by the Guardian newspaper under the Freedom of Information. The documents do not specify the timing of killings by the Coldstream Guards, the Royal Marine Commandos, and the Rifles. The details are included in thousands of such incidents posted by the whistleblowing website WikiLeaks in July. The website released more than 70,000 classified documents on the U.S.-led war in Afghanistan. It is a quarter to four in the morning over here in Tehran, where Press TV is. Let's give you another round of this hour's top stories. A new poll shows the United States president's approval rating has fallen to its lowest level, as we've been discussing. A UN official slams the U.S. trial of a Guantanamo detainee arrested at age 15. Documents show UK soldiers have killed Afghan civilians, including children.